Far away, unless you got a lead in, Lucas. No.
Yeah, yeah. So, have you spoken to Ollie?
About what?
Well, Silvani said this morning that his name was raised in any potential talks. Obviously, the club said that you had no knowledge of it. Have you touched base with him at all?
I spoke to Ollie when that first broke last week, and obviously the month before when it was first spoken about, and then I reckon the month before that where it was spoken about as well. So there's nothing really to address. It's interesting the number of names that come out either during or after. I also saw a report about Robbie Gray at one point, so trade period names get thrown up.
But for Carlton to say his name was raised, albeit informally, from their side, what's your take on that?
I don't really have a take. I mean, we talk about players all the time. The question that I think we all should be asking is what step happens next? And if nothing happens next, then it's the same discussion that I reckon many clubs have about good players across the competition, whether it's Wines or Gray or Boak, or whether it's us asking about other clubs' players. It's what happens at this time of the year.
Just on the trade period generally, I guess, what's your assessment? Are you pleased with how everything's unfolded for Port Adelaide?
Yeah, I mean, we said at the start that I thought we were going to be more looking at players leaving the club rather than the guys that were coming in. Obviously, there were various times we thought that Fantasia might be an option, but then it became more about the guys who were coming out. And so, do you want me to stop? I was going all right then, too.
Maybe we'll go again. Trade period generally, happy with how it's unfolded?
Yeah, so we said at the start that it was going to be more about the guys leaving necessarily than the guys coming in. We thought there was a time where Horatio Fantasia might be looking to come back to Adelaide. That didn't eventuate, so we moved on from that pretty quickly. Overall, really pleased to have another pick early on in this coming draft and to add some extra top-end talent to our list.
There's a bit of talk about Sam Gray. Do you want him back at the club now that there wasn't a trade broken?
Yeah, well, we'd spoken to Sam throughout the year about, what 2020 would look like. I think at the time Sam was looking for a longer-term deal and potentially some additional security. So, we'll have that discussion with his manager over the next, probably couple of days. The reality is there wasn't a club who was willing to take Sam through the trade period, so he'll now have to reassess his options as much as we will.
Is it important to keep him now after the Fantasia deal kind of fizzled out?
Yeah, I mean, I think that across the board you've got to look at where you've got depth and where you don't. Now, we'll be able to approach that throughout the delisted free agent period and also the draft, the national draft and the rookie draft. So, all of our decisions that are made throughout the trade period are done on the basis of knowing what's going to be coming up in the draft period, and 1 and 2, 3 years ahead as well.
You understand some of the frustrations of fans about the Doodle trade and how that went down, especially him being such a young utility.
I do. Of course, I do. In these situations, you've got to weigh up what you believe is best for the club at any point in time. Now, there's a whole heap of factors that go into those decisions. At no point, do you look and think that they're not hard decisions to make. They're made on the balance of what you think is right at the time. List management is an inexact science, but the reality is we'll think we'll be better off, for this trade happening, and that's why we did it.
Is it just to have two bites of the cherry? Another bite of the cherry inside the first round?
Yeah, well, again, a whole heap of different reasons. I mean, you can talk about having another first-round pick. You can talk about having depth in various positions on the ground that Dougal wanted to play. You can talk about money. You can talk about what we've got coming up in the draft in the future. There are a whole heap of factors that go into the decisions that you make. It's not one part that you focus on throughout this period, and those decisions for our club go through a committee type process. So, obviously, understand that people have opinions. You've certainly got to look at it across the board as a not only projection but also production as well.
So,
Justin Reid said that he looked at Dougal Howard. Was there any conversations between the clubs?
Look, not with me, no. So if there was, that's nothing that I am aware of.
So how do you assess your list now? Obviously, your kids last year were outstanding, the Holy Trinity, so to speak, and sort of moving towards needing to win a final to, keep and everyone sort of content with the direction of the club, and how you're looking at going back at the draft. Where do you see you are, between the sort of building and finals contention?
I think it's a fair question. The idea that we're building to win a final is not right. I mean, we're wanting to build a list to win a premiership, and we got to the end of 2018 and we made some decisions that were most people would have thought were reasonably bold at the time. We brought some players in who we think are going to help us longer term and short term. Clearly, Rosie and Dersma had fantastic seasons. I think Butsy will have Zach Butters will have a better season next year. Bringing in Ryan Burton, another first round pick last year, high end talent. We think we'll do that with three, maybe four players in this upcoming draft. So this is more than just looking at the finals. This is wanting to build a list that can compete to win the flag.
And what do you look at draft wise in terms of needs with your couple of early picks?
Yeah, I mean, I think again you look at the midfield, you look at our ability in the forward half as well. Clearly we've got to look to add some talent there and create some efficiency. We had the number one inside 50 differential last year and we weren't able to put it on the scoreboard well enough. Equally, we had, I think, the least amount of inside 50s differential against us. So you can look and say that we defend pretty well, but clearly we need to get better in that area. We're hoping to bring some talent in that will help. But we also know that you've got to be able to coach some efficiency as well. So there are a whole heap of important factors. But to answer your question, Theo, that was a very long answer. The reality is midfield and forward sort of depth would be good.
I should have asked this before, sorry, just on Fantasia. How much interest was there from Port Adelaide's end? I mean, did you feel confident that you might have requested a move and that it was going to happen, or was it a little bit just suck and see?
We had said from the start that if a young South Australian player wants to come home, then we're interested. It doesn't matter the shape or size. So, and that will remain, post this trade period. We had some young South Australians who were proposed to us late in the trade period that we contemplated but didn't end up going for. But ultimately, we like young South Australian players to be on our list. If he had said that he wanted to come home, we would have been interested, but that wasn't the case.
You can't divulge any of those names, I suppose?
No, I mean, obviously, you guys will talk about it, no doubt.
What was your reaction when you found out he wasn't coming when his manager said, no, he's staying at Essendon?
I was just move on. I mean, you can't afford to dwell in the moment. When we got the message from Michael Dowdy that he was staying in Victoria, it was just, okay, well, what's next?
I suppose more an indictment on us that we're all quite stunned. I mean, I'd imagine the club had maybe a little level of expectation.
I think we oscillated in between thinking that he was coming and not for a period of time. It didn't eventuate, so you can't afford to sit there and contemplate that too much. As I say, we had an interest. It didn't eventuate, so you move on pretty quick.
How important is it to land the likes of Jackson and Peter Burgoyne as far as some picks coming up in the draft?
Peter Burgoyne is probably a little bit out of nick right now, but both of those guys are players who obviously are available to us. From a father-son perspective, we'll have a look and assess where we think they're on our draft board and make decisions on the night. Obviously, you can trade draft selections up until, I think it's the 22nd of November, and then again on the night. So we'll continue to make assessments as to where they fit on our list potentially and where they'll fit in the draft.
A lot of future picks being traded now. Are you at all concerned about the integrity of next year's draft, given the amount of academy and father-son picks within that draft?
Yeah, we are. I mean, there's no doubt that next year's draft is compromised to another level. Obviously, you talk about next generation academy players, other father-son players, the picks that the Gold Coast Suns have. Next year's draft is going to be more compromised probably than this one, and I imagine that will be something that the AFL will have to look at into the future. If you've got a whole heap of talent that's already assigned to clubs. You know, the AFL are going to have to make a philosophical call as to whether that's a good thing for them or not, because you know, you start looking basically going back to zones, don't you, if that's the case. So.
Do you feel like they perhaps need to intervene there and do something before that?
Oh, look, I don't necessarily have a view. I don't have all of the facts and figures. I think, you know, I'm sure there are people within the AFL who are far better placed to make those assessments. But, you know, in answer to the question of the compromise draft in the future, there's no doubt that it is.
Is there a key for your club then to sort of get around that? Is it to get as early as possible or to have as many picks as possible?
Well, I mean, again, we had a look last year. We knew that the 2021 draft was going to be a compromise one, so you start to make decisions as early as you can based on that. Again, it may well be, you know, trading players next year. We've gone through different years where we've attacked the draft hard, or you know, we've gone through free agency. Yeah, we'll have to keep all of those options in mind.
Sorry, Chris, I think just go back to Ollie Wines because we missed it. When that came up, when you had the conversation with him, what was that like? Was he just adamant that he was staying?
Yeah, he has been all along, and you know, he was on holiday away. So, you know, I imagine if you dug deeper, there'd be far more names than just Ollie Wines that are thrown up at various points, you know, throughout the trade period. So, there was never any discussion at our end about trading Ollie, and you know, Ollie's got 3 years left here at our footy club. You know, I'm sure he'll you know, play some far better footy next year if he's got an injury, less injury interrupted pre-season, and then also a season as well. You've got to remember he, you know, broke his leg and had a broken arm for a part of last season, didn't he? So we would expect him to be a far better player for us next year than he was in 2019.
He said that he's never considered leaving, but is it slightly confusing for his manager to raise his name with another club?
Honestly, I think you're going to have to ask his manager if that's the type of question that you need answered. I think it's probably best to answer him. But I think even Nick Geeshan has knocked it on the head as well and said he didn't approach Carlton. So, I'm not sure where these things start, but I can certainly put a stop to it here.
Just on the delisted free agents, is there anyone you're
on
at the moment?
Yeah, we certainly will have to have a look at the names of players who are delisted, either have been delisted or will be delisted in the next period of time. You know, again, that goes into the idea of where we want to put some resource into the team and potentially add some players with different skill sets. You know, whether that be some additional forward craft or as we've heard a lot of over the last little bit, maybe a tall back. We'll have to make that assessment over the next little, you know, period of time.
And just one on Jackson Mead jumping back again, well over the shop. Do you think a bid for him would come before pick 18?
Well, I think that's probably a question that is better placed for someone like Jason Cripps. But there's no doubt, you know, from my standpoint, that it's really important that our list management crew have a good understanding as to where those players will be bid. So, without being able to confirm where we think that is right now, I think by the time that the draft hits and certainly the end of trading picks, I would suggest that our people need to be all across where they think Mead and also Burgoyne will actually be picked if they're going to be, you know, going in the national draft. And you know, the same applies for next year's draft, doesn't it? We've got Taj Schofield, we've got a young lad, Lockie Jones, who's part of our Next Generation Academy, who we think are going to be talented players to potentially come onto our list the year after. So we've got to have a mind as well to saying, well, what types of picks do we have to have in that following year's draft to make sure we've either got enough points or are well placed to be able to capitalise on that.
How difficult was it to say farewell to Matty Broadbent?
Yeah, really, really difficult. He's been a fantastic player at our club for a long period of time. Actually, we were talking the other day. I was actually at Woodville West Torrens when he first got drafted, and yeah, it's hard to think that 10 years later, I was in the meeting that, unfortunately, you know, we had to have that discussion. But, you know, a fantastic player, fantastic guy to have at the club. You know, always did what the club wanted him to. You know, was such a clean player at his peak. And we obviously wish, you know, Matthew all the best now with whatever path he takes, you know, whether it be SNFL or if he's able to get onto another AFL list, you know, we wish him all the best.
Thanks.
Good on you, guys. Thank you. Have a good day. Thanks for your time.
Good on you. Enjoy.